Blog Talk Radio.
Owen, my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I wanna roll with the gangsters. But so far they all think I'm too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
MIT. Got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never thin, to the contrary. You'll find it there quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My mind space page is all totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to a thousand places. Ain't got no grill, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a weird minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I set a place of blaze. There's no killer rap, I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I can sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Here's the part I sing.
You see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I like to roll.
Welcome, 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 guys, to the Black Girl Nerds podcast. Sorry to have to cut it off that way, but it's like 3.5 minutes, our intro. welcome to our seventh installment. As you can tell from the theme music, we are talking about nerdiness and whiteness, and is there a correlation between the two in our nerd culture? So it should be a really great topic to talk about tonight. My name is Jamie. I'm your host this evening, and tonight I have four amazing girls that are going to be talking about this wonderful topic with me, and I'm really glad to have them with us tonight. We have LaTanya, Shanna, Tatiana, and Angelique. And I'm going to go ahead and throw the mic over to you guys in a minute. But before I get to you guys, I just want to say, first of all, really quick, thoughts and prayers to the victims as well as the families that are in Boston right now with the tragedy that happened with the Boston Marathon. So just want to acknowledge that right now. I know it's kind of a somber day, and hopefully our podcast can bring a little bit of levity to what's happened in spite of those events. Also, if you get an opportunity, I know I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to keep doing so. Go to the BGN store. If you click on blackgirlnerds.com, there's a link that says BGN store. It's www.bgnstore.tumblr.com. We've got some shirts, we've got hats, tote bags, really nice accessories, so that way you can show off your nerdiness and embrace yourself. And the proceeds do go to help fund these podcasts, because believe it or not, there is money involved with getting these funded and getting these aired for you each week. So definitely would appreciate that kind of support. And also, we are on iTunes. I know I put a lot of social media blasts out there about it, but just to remind you guys, you know, not everybody can use the Blog Talk Radio platform on their cell phone. So you are more than free to use your cell phone now to listen to these podcasts via iTunes. And if you don't mind, when you do subscribe, go ahead and rate us. You know, click that little star over there, a few stars, and let us know what you think about our podcast. And also feel free to comment, too. So tonight we are talking about nerdiness and whiteness. Before I start, I want to go ahead and introduce our wonderful co-hosts. We will start with LaTanya, Shanna, Tatiana, and then Angelique.
Hello, I'm LaTanya. I'm from right outside the New York City area. I run a blog called Sprinkles and Brews, and I also write for Black Girl Nerds, which I love, and Afropunk.
I am Shanna. I am a writer and student in Unicorn. Only two of those are true. I also write for Black Girl Nerds, and I also am on shannawithstanza.wordpress.com.
Hi, I'm Tatiana. I'm a freelance writer, editor, blogger, and my blog is driven by tatianas.com. And I don't write for Black Girl Nerds, but I think she's awesome anyway.
Aww.
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 So cute.
Oh,
Hi, I'm Angelique. I am actually a political consultant, and I write for Black Girl Nerds in between trying my best to do online political advocacy. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and that's about it.
All right, ladies, well, let's get to it. Our topic is nerdiness and whiteness. First things first, let's ask the question, is there a correlation between white culture and nerd culture? If you agree, tell me why, and if you disagree, why?
I agree, because usually when people find out I have nerdy characteristics, they're really confused. Like, I get asked all sorts of questions, like, I almost get treated as if everything I'm into, they're not sure if I know what it is. Like, it's like,
yeah.
You know what Batman is? Like, are you aware of, like, what a comic book is? You know, like, stuff like that. Like, yeah, I follow, like, I know what's going on. Also, a lot of people, like, a lot of white people are intimidated by it for some reason, especially males. Like, they're, like, really, like, not terrified, but just, like, they don't know how to process me right away. So I think there is, like, I don't look like a quote-unquote nerd, like, you know, and I don't really fit whatever the stereotype of a nerd may be, because I don't find a nerd to be one thing, me personally. But I think there is something there, just because of the way people react to me personally.
Yeah. I have to agree with some of that. I think when you look at what a nerd is traditionally, like someone's like who's very smart, who's kind of awkward, isn't like obsessive into like certain things, like I'm like that, but I've had a hard time finding other Black people like that until now, mm-hmm. of course. But
thank you, thank you,
like,
internet. Thanks to the
yeah.
internet for that.
But yeah. Going with especially, like, the awkward shyness part of the nerd, like, you know, I feel like people don't think Black people can be shy or kind of awkward or kind of weird, and that's how
mm-hmm.
I was growing up, and still I am a little bit. So,
yeah.
there's a kind of a hang-up there. It's like, you're supposed to be outgoing and, you know, dance on the floor and, you know, do all those things, and it's just like, I'm kind of a bookworm, you know. I kind of like just saying that with myself. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I don't know. I don't know if I disagree or agree. And I think we were kind of talking earlier, like, I actually wrote an article in college about it. You know, I was the only kid on campus that, you know, was rollerblading, wearing JNCO jeans, and, you know, seriously, I had several pairs of 40s in my closet. And
40s for you would have been my hero if I knew you, by the way. I was like, girl, my hero right now.
I was that kid that wore the shirts that said, you know, I listen to the voices in my head, but they don't speak my language. And, you know, it was like during that time. And I think even during high school, I was too Black to be white, too white to be Black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
yeah.
It says a lot kind of for the fact that, you know, I don't know if it's considered to be white. Like, people will say, oh, you have great diction. Oh, you like books.
Yeah.
You listen to comics. You know, you read comics. You listen to all these crazy, crazy music. Weird Al, obviously. But, like, at the end of the day, I think it's what it's starting to become, and what it always was, is, like, its own classification. And I think the problem is that people automatically say it's white because they can't put it in a box. And
right,
I think that's the great thing about being, you know, nerd with a tan is what I call it at this point. But, you know, I think that's the great part of being, you know, not being able to be put in the box, because you see both sides. Like, honestly, I love rap, but I also love Blink-182 and was listening to Weezer on the Metro today. And
I love
Bobby
Weezer.
See?
I think it's impossible not to love Weezer.
I'm on the line. I'm on the line, definitely, of thinking, because I almost think it's wrong to say that being nerdy is being white, because I think it's almost saying being smart is associated with being white. And that's a whole, like, another social economic
yeah.
issue.
It really is. It's a huge one. It's
yeah.
Giant one. Yeah, and go ahead, Tatiana. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if I agree or disagree, because when I think of, like, the correlation between whiteness and nerdiness, I think of it more as, like, a pop culture narrative and conversation, because, like, at least in my personal experience, I have never been called white or sort of treated like, oh, you're black and you like Asian pop music. Like, that's so weird. Like, I haven't had that experience. So, like, my understanding of, like, nerdiness and whiteness is more like, oh, when we see depictions of nerds, like, you have the Big Bang Theory, which I don't watch, but I know a little bit about, and, like, Revenge of the Nerds, like, these sort of socially awkward, skinny white guys who can't get dates, kind of. And so, like, when people talk about nerdiness, what they're really sort of talking about is, like, regurgitating sort of what they see, like, in the movies or on TV or who they, like, meet with. Because, like, I mean, just, like, socially, there are a lot of white people everywhere. And so, like, even within nerd culture, there are lots of white nerds. And so, like, at least for me, like, I often find myself the only black person in, like, 99% of my interests. And so I can't, like, not that it makes sense, but the logical jump that people make is, like, oh, there are so many, like, white people at, like, you know, gaming conventions or, you know, like, anime conventions or whatever. So they automatically assume that nerds are white people, but that nerds aren't, like, black people or, like, Asians or, like, Indians or anything like that. So that's kind of, like, my perspective of it.
Yes, yeah. For me, I think that this conversation is becoming more relevant now than it was in the past because of social media and how it sort of amplifies everything, right? So recently there's been sort of this emergence of reality television. You've got King of the Nerds, you've got Comic Book Men, now you've got a new variety show on BBC America called The Nerdist. Shows kind of in the last, you know, 10 years or so, Judd Apatow's Freaks and Geeks and even The Big Bang Theory. And all of these shows revolve around nerds, but also they show predominantly white nerds. And you see some black faces and some faces of color here and there, but predominantly they do show, you know, people that are Caucasian. And that's what sort of makes this kind of conversation, in my opinion, very relevant. Because I don't like to racialize everything. You know, as a black woman, I don't like to always overanalyze and, you know, go into some deep analytical conversation about race, about this various subject. But I think that nerdiness and whiteness in our culture, especially now that we're seeing it happening so much, it is something that's relevant, and I do see more of it happening now than I did in the past. And you know, there is a subculture out there that exists, and we're not being represented in the mainstream. So, you know, I do see that there's a lot of whiteness that's integrated in nerd culture on a mainstream level. Is that a fact? Absolutely not. But you are seeing that in the mainstream. For those of you, by the way, that want to jump into this discussion, you can go ahead and call us 347-237-4616, or you can use the hashtag BGNpodcast. I do see somebody. I'm not quite sure if they're holding to speak with us, but I'll go ahead and bring them on the line. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Oh, hi. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi. This is Tabitha Brooklyn at Tabitha Brooklyn on Twitter.
Hi, Tabitha. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I know you wanted to talk about this.
Yes. I was just holding. I was like, I don't know how to do this. So I pulled over. I'm driving. I pulled over. I was like, I'm going to do this. It's never available at 5 o'clock. So, yes.
So what do you think? Do you think that nerdiness and white culture sort of correlate to one another or no?
Absolutely. I think there is a huge correlation. You know, especially growing up, I was raised in a white neighborhood. You know, I've always enjoyed reading, and even in school, being ostracized, you know, being in, like, honors classes and, you know, being well-spoken and always, you know, having something intelligent to relay during conversations and giving answers in school, you know, the kids who were always the nerds were the white ones, and it wasn't accepted at the time to be brown and be a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, there's still a huge problem right now, and, you know, in the media, and they're always portraying, you know, nerds Caucasian or Asian, as you ladies mentioned before. You know, so, you know, thankfully, you know, you especially and the other ladies and gentlemen are making a lot of noise and making, you know, people like Chris Hardwick aware that there's another, you know, demographic there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Why do you think these shows, I mean, do you think that there's sort of this quintessential idea that especially male, white male people tend to be nerdy more than any other racial or gender demographic?
That's a good question. It's just, I don't know if it's because of the opportunities that have been given, you know, certain people like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson recently even coming in the news, and he's a strong force that people respect for his field. But, you know, growing up, even thinking, there weren't a tremendous amount that were known at the time, you know, growing up in the 90s. So I think that's just what everyone is used to. And if anyone, you know, excels, then for whatever reason, the media or popular opinion, they get repressed. And, you know, it's you know, but now it's becoming a force. And so I think that's it's a really good thing that it's happening that way.
Awesome. Anything else that you guys want to add to the discussion on this?
Well, I think, does anybody think that maybe, and I guess I come from a journalism background, I kind of did, this is going to sound so nerdy. Oh, I guess I'm in the right place. I did my graduate thesis on African Americans in comedies and the way we were portrayed, like just the negative ways, obviously looking at the Sambo, looking at, you know, Amos and Andy, looking at Beulah, looking at, you know, the mammy figures. And there's not one time that you saw an African-American as a nerd until you, like, the most infamous, obviously, African-American nerd of the 90s, Urkel. Like, you really didn't see a nerd. Like, you had, you know, in the 80s, you had Revenge of the Nerds. You had all these, like, big nerds, like, that came out with Back to the Future and Marty McFly, and you came out, and you just seen through the ages. Even Clark Kent was another nerd.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Peter Parker.
So you're seeing all these things personified as the white male, and you're not even seeing a white female nerd until, you know, the 80s, 90s, moving forward. Like, even with, you know, Steve Urkel didn't have a nerd girlfriend until, like, season 3 or 4.
Right.
It's a subculture that just was not represented, and I don't know if it wasn't popular. I definitely know there were still nerds back then.
I think a lot of what happened with that whole situation is that black nerds were really quiet. Like, now we have more of a way to, like, get out there and, like, have a voice. And I think in line of, like, Steve Urkel, maybe someone just thought, hey, there's no black nerds. This would be hilarious. Let's do this, you know? But I think that, like, there's just no way. Because black culture was just sort of, like, especially in the 80s, like, hip-hop and, like, being cool and having cars and gold chains and boomboxes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That was, like, the hip. Like, not that nerdiness is, like, hip right now, even though it is, but I'm just saying, like, we have more of a voice, like, we can get out there more, and it's just something that's more, we have a better means of, like, communicating, hey, we like the same stuff you do, you know, than we did back then. So I think that's the only reason why that is. I don't think it has anything to really do with the fact that they didn't exist, or, you know, it was just, like, us nerds, we shy, you know, so it's just, like, no one's going to try to, like, wait, hey, I like books too, guys, you know, like, just, we're like, I like books, but I'll sit over here in the corner and read my book, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's more about what it is.
Well, Tabitha, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. We got a lot of people holding.
Awesome.
A lot of folks ready to call in. So
good night.
So and I just want to, real quick, before I get the next caller on, just address some of the tweets as well. So on Twitter, we've got St. Clinton, who says, blacks aren't being shown as nerds is because TB fears that there would be an Urkel ripoff and not get over. Yeah, that's true. And Geek Soul Brother, he says, a group of black girls talking about being a nerd? I love these modern times. Thanks, Geek Soul Brother. And then John Minus says, if you were a black nerd in 1991, people wanted to capture you and put you in a zoo.
I don't know what to do with that.
But he's fantastic.
All right, so we'll go ahead and get to the next caller here. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from? Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hi. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Trisha TX, better known as Random X on Twitter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic, and I'm so glad that I have found you all. Oh, my goodness.
Yay.
Welcome.
And actually, it's kind of monumentous right now, too, because I'm a huge Scandal fan, and actually, that's how I kind of found the, you know, your link in the website and everything, because congratulations, you got followed back by Shonda Rhimes.
Isn't that so awesome? Oh my god,
I almost fell apart. But okay.
Running around in circles in my apartment, I was just like, "Oh my god, Shonda Rhimes is following us!"
And then, I mean, to just say, you know, us black girl nerds have to stick together, was like, "Oh lord, wall slide."
She gets it. She totally gets it. I love it.
Honestly, you know, being myself, being a middle-aged woman, you know, I've lived through the 80s and, you know, early 90s, and I swear I'm the first professed black girl nerd. I'm originally from New York, and I moved to Texas, so you can only imagine.
Our condolences.
Hey, I'm from Louisiana. I understand.
Yes, I moved from East Coast to, you know, South when I was fairly young. And initially, you know, my mom was a single mom, and, you know, she worked really hard for me to go to private school. So when she couldn't afford it anymore, smack dab in middle junior high, here I am, you know, thrown into the public school system in a predominantly black school when I had gone to a predominantly white school. And was, just horribly teased, because I didn't sound like them, not to mention I'm light-skinned, you know, everything else. And, you know, all I was trying to be was me. And, you know, I'm also a movie buff, music buff, so I listen to everything. There's no black and white to me when it comes to movies or music or that sort of thing. I just like what I like. And, you know, the fact that, you know, it bothered me that you even had to be in, you know, you have to be categorized. You know, there has to be a genre for this type of person. Why can't I just be educated and speak and be able to contribute without you trying to tell me that I'm trying to act and be like someone else? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically, and I'll tell you a true story. I worked at a music store, and I remember being on the phone, and someone, you know, this is early 90s, so, you know, back when it was Bone Thugs and Harmony, which I love, you know. I love, you know, all kinds
boom,
of music.
Boom, yep.
Exactly. And true story, I had somebody on the phone that, you know, they were asking about, you know, hey, is that new bone out? So I'm like, you know, as far as I know, there's nothing new except for this, and, you know, I know what was going on. And they actually told me that they wanted somebody black on the phone.
No.
Are you kidding me?
And I am not lying.
Oh,
and told them I was black.
Wow.
No. I can't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm
so crazy. But, you know, why that has to be associated as far as, you know, speech and the fact that you're educated and you can speak, you know, with, you know, that you can, you know, that you can actually hold a sentence and hold a conversation with someone, and why they associate that with whiteness has always, always, always floored me. I don't understand it.
I think because, unfortunately, there's a negative stigma that's attached to Black culture, which I'm actually reading this book right now called Ghetto Nation by Cora Daniels. And it's the horrible stigma that's attached to our community, that slang, and they call it the African-American vernacular, AAV, is attached to our culture. And if we don't speak within the confines of that vernacular, then we're disassociated from our Blackness. And that's the problem. You know, we've got to stop these stereotypes about the Black community, and we're not this two-dimensional you know, culture or group of people, that there's so much more to us than our Blackness. And, you know, those stigmas unfortunately still stick with us, and that's why we get called white, you know, if we choose to speak in, you know, English standard rather than speaking in slang. And it's unfortunate.
So it is, because, like, it also depends on where you're raised. Like, I'm raised in Connecticut. Yeah. Even though I live in a city in Connecticut, like, I was raised in Connecticut. I went to private schools. I was around a bunch of other educated children of all races. You know what I mean? Just because you present yourself a certain way, it doesn't make sense to just be against it, you know? It's just like, why would you be? I can't imagine doing that to anyone. Even if you're speaking straight up hood to me, I wouldn't be like, oh, you're ignorant. You know what I mean? It's just, okay, that's where you're from. That's how you were raised, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you spoke with another gal earlier, you know, that said that she grew up in predominantly white schools and that sort of thing, and it's true. I mean, I'm very familiar with Connecticut. I've been, you know, I attended University of Connecticut, so I'm very familiar with the area, and even in Connecticut on the college campus, very, very interesting. I thought, you know, I think it's funny that you have to have an African-American culture center, and you have to have a Latina center, and you have to have the Asian center, and you have to have, you know, all these different groups, you know, so that you can identify in them. And it still floors me that we're still having this discussion in 2013. And honestly, I just want to say, and I'm going to get off now, is that we just need to continue to have this dialogue. And the more that we're out there, and the more that we're pushing in it, the more, you know, that we're seeing out there. Thank God for, you know, Michelle Obama. Thank God for Kerry Washington. I mean, they're just getting used to her being time on television. So, you know, it's going to take a little while, but, you know, we just have to stand our ground and continue to, you know, talk about it. And definitely.
Absolutely.
We'll be able to knock down these walls.
Yep.
So thank you.
You're awesome. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Take care. All right, girls. Got some more callers coming in. So here we go. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, my name is Pianki. I'm calling from the Midwest. And, boy, I'm really cracking up over this conversation on Black girl nerds.
Oh, yeah? What's funny?
And, you know, it kind of reminds me how we used to always be accused of talking white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I used to ask people, I say, what is talking white?
Right.
And the reason that they gave is not talking white. You know, like I think one of the other ladies mentioned about her diction, pronunciation of words, and the structure of sentences. You know what talking white is? Talking white is when you, a group of blacks, are sitting around a table talking about offshore oil well drilling, equity financing, leverage buyouts, boycotts, and sanctions. That's talking white. And
black
don't think
talk
that
about that too.
Don't think that there's a.
About that yesterday.
Black folks have some stuff about the oil wells now.
And there are young black males, if you want to call them nerds, that are actually talking about the copper mining in Zambia. I know a bunch. Another black male by the name of Lowell Hawthorne out of Jamaica, Queens, who grossed over $100 million in 2011. He wrote a book called A Baker's Son. So you have blacks that's out there talking nerdy, males and females.
Right.
I don't know too many females, though. And if you really want to look at some nerds, I mean, we're talking blacks, you got to look at the African immigrants who have the highest educational attainment than any other ethnic group that immigrates to the United States, even higher than Asians. So y'all want to be talking to them, getting them in your conversations and your circles and so forth and so on.
Right.
You hear where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's get these businesses. I want to see you. I want to see black women starting to put business stats on the table that's comparable to white women. And if you really want to shoot for the stars, let's see if we can outdo those Asian females who have the highest business stats in America.
You know, I hear you. I hear you, man. Because you know what? I own my own business. I run my own company. I am a consultant that does it every day. You're right. We definitely need to make sure that we're talking about real stuff.
I got a 15-year-old grandson. Out of the 8th grade, he scored a 29 in the ACT. He's got scholarships galore. He's carrier 4.0. He's got a scholarship from the St. Louis Cardinals. He's an avid baseball player. So I have to keep these hoochie mamas away from him. Huh? So it's nerds out there. If you want to call them that. I kind of get a kick out. And you know, you're talking about they're not showing on TV. Well, when blacks start owning businesses that have the advertisement, then you would have just about whatever you want on these media.
And very true. And the thing is too that, you know, and I had put out a tweet about this, and Shonda Rhimes actually retweeted it. I had put out a tweet that said that minority women are the largest users of social media. That's really important, y'all. I mean, seriously. And the people that responded to me was like, really? Are you sure? I don't believe you. Where'd you get those findings? Mashable.com was the site where I got the findings. Mashable.com, for those of you that don't know, they put out information about tech startup companies, and whenever there's something new or a new trend that happens in social media, they're the first ones to report it. So I highly advise all of you guys to follow Mashable, because that's where I got that information. And that's some really important that's a really important fact to know, that the number one users of social media right now, demographically according to race, there's Hispanic, then black, and then Asian, and then women are higher users than men. Uh-huh. So if we've got the power, I mean, basically we have buried treasure right now that we don't even know that we have, that's in our hands, and we can use social media to promote businesses, to create businesses, but we've got to be able to use that to amplify our message, but we also got to support each other in the effort.
That's right.
So,
that's right. And your topics can't be whether Nicki Minaj has had the pads in her booty on your social media.
I'm with you on that, because I'm about tired of hearing this big Beyonce story. So I'm with
you
on that.
So honest though, I want to see us do it. We gotta do better than we are economically. That's killing us. And we can. I mean, we got all the skills and talents to turn our situation around. We just got to say, this is what we're going to do.
And we have to stop being so divisive. We've got to work together. I think that's a huge problem in the black community.
It really is a big problem.
Mentality. Everybody's kind of out for themselves, and that's not how it works. That's not how you become successful. So,
you got to stop that. You have to look at these black population centers as markets. I mean, markets. They're markets. I mean, toothbrushes, there's food, there's clothes, there are markets. And you also have to start looking abroad, too. I mean, manufacturing and producing abroad. There's a lot of African-American women that is doing this, too. But manufacturing and producing abroad, using trade agreements to bring things back in the United States, duty and tariff-free into those Jackson, Mississippi, those Alabamas, those Georgias, those Atlantas.
Right.
Okay, look, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the laugh. Yeah. He was a riot. Okay. Sorry if I sound like I'm cutting you guys off, but there's a lot of people on hold waiting to...
No, you're not cutting anybody off. I love it.
Bring him on.
Yeah, you're all good.
All righty. All right. What's your name? Where are you from? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Evans.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jamie from Black Girl Nerds. What's your name?
Where are you? Hey, how are you all doing? It's a great show. I love it. This is Maisha from D.C. How y'all doing?
Hi, Maisha. Good.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. It's such a great show. I don't even know where to begin. Oh, my. The brother who was just on, he was talking about economic empowerment, and that's what I wanted to speak to because, basically, you know, when segregation, we had our own institutions. You know, you had a black doctor, you had a black lawyer, you had a black architect, you had a black everybody. You had all levels of society within the black community. And that was a good thing. My thing is integration does serve its purpose, but what we did, as opposed to other ethnicities in this country, is we said, okay, well, we don't need to have our own institutions anymore. We're just going to be integrated. And you have the Hispanics, you have the Asians, and the other minority groups in this country, and they kept all of their institutions. So now, especially when you're talking about, like, Brown versus Board of Education, you look at, like, landmark cases like that. So now you've got this idea that, okay, in order for us to have any type of quality education, it must be white.
Right.
And it's, so the question becomes, it's okay, and this is scary because this is at the elementary level. We always had our own universities, but just to get to university, the idea was you had to go to a white school in order to get to the university level. So we always had Fisk and Meharry and, you know, Spelman and so on and everything. But that's what was really kind of freaking me out. So I always think about them, like, well, why did we ever give those institutions up? Because if you wanted to go and get some type of medical help, you had to go to a black doctor, you wanted legal help, you wanted to go to a black lawyer. So the idea of associating nerdiness with whiteness is something I think that's relatively new. We always had our own nerds. We've always had our own intellectuals. We've always had this. It's just they're not celebrated. You know,
right.
They're not recognized. And it's just no one wanted to be purple. You know, no one wants to be looking at the memes on the internet. No one wants to be Carlton. You know?
Right.
And we all love Will Smith, and there's nothing wrong with Will. But
I don't know. It's kind of like Carlton. I kind of wanted to be that nerd, though. I think there's some
I
of us
too.
That.
I was just thinking that. I'm happy.
Oh, well,
that
no,
I wanted to be that
nerd. I mean, Right. We wanted to be Carlton. We thought Carlton was cool. But how many young people growing up, because Fresh of Bell was on when I was in junior high school, I thought Carlton was bomb.com. But it's just how many of us really wanted to be Carlton, how many of us would have wanted to be Will Smith?
That's
you
true.
Know? So
very,
it's kind of like you always had this, it wasn't cool to be Carlton. You always got made fun of. So there's this whole anti-intellectual attitude that has become associated with black culture over the years. This wasn't something that's always been, though. So you don't have to go that far back to see that we did all these things ourselves. We had our own communities, and we had our own people who did who worked in academia and so forth, and we encouraged our children. That was the number one thing you wanted to do. I mean, if you go back to, like, slavery, what did you want for your kids? You wanted them to be able to go and get an education. That was everything.
Mm-hmm.
That was everything. You didn't want your kids working in the field, not having access to education, not having a better way of life. You would do anything to get your kids to that schoolhouse. That was everything. And so the question is, how do we get from that attitude to where we are now, where someone speaks, quote-unquote, you know, a standard American English and not AAVE or African-American Vernacular English, then they're acting white, they're just this alien, they're an outsider and all this other stuff. And by the way, with the AAVE, I love AAVE. Okay, I think it's great. I think it makes us, it's a beautiful, I guess, what they call it, intellect, or just thing that's just unique, like a unique dialect within a dialect. And that's what makes us us. And blacks all around the world have those. But you just have to know there's a place for it, there's a time for it. Maybe you want to use it at home, just people use it as another language at home, a second language. It really, in effect, it really is. Not everybody can understand it. You know, it's not for everybody. And it makes us who we are. So, yes, you should. I think that is to be celebrated. I think it's a good thing. And I think, but unfortunately, people will judge you in this world by the way you speak.
Right.
So we are bi-dialectal. You know, we do speak in different gestures and tones and dialects and things like that. So it's okay to be that. It's all right to have speak to the long the African-American culture, to belong to a larger Anglo culture or whatever culture you wish to belong to. And I think that's another thing that happens with us. People always want to say that we're very monolithic, and we're not. There's so many different dimensions to being black. There's so many different ways you can be black. So you're like, you guys were mentioning Michelle Obama. There's Michelle Obama. There's all kinds of different models that are out there. It's just we don't see enough of, you know, the black women intellectuals out there. We don't see that. So we are more worried about, unfortunately, what Nicki Minaj is doing to her backside and all this other foolishness, and you know, what happened with the wig and all this other, you know, her and Mariah Carey yelling at each other on American Idol, and things that really aren't going to benefit us in the end. That's all I wanted to say. Oh, also, in the spirit of supporting you all, I definitely want to get my T-shirt. So
Yay.
You guys said Tumblr?
Yeah, so it's www.bgnstore.com.
Oh, BGN Store?
Right,
okay,
.tumblr.com.
Okay.
Right. Or you can just go to blackgirlnerds.com, and it's at the top left-hand corner of your screen, or top right-hand corner of your screen, rather.
Okay, sounds great. All right, they're doing a great job.
Thanks, Maisha.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. I do have to say, though, the one cool thing about Carlton was that Carlton dance. Yeah, I'm sorry, but
I like
everything about Carlton. I don't know. I thought he was fantastic, and I definitely wanted to be him.
I would have dated him before I dated Will. I'm sorry.
Me too. And
he had
short.
A future.
I've been all about it.
Unusual to be loved by anyone. All right, so let me go ahead and bring on our next caller. Sorry you guys have to wait so long. It's
exciting.
Hot topic. Caller, what's your name and where are you from?
I can't hear you.
Caller, are you on the air? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. We'll go ahead and put you back on mute. All right. Let's go to our next caller holding. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, my name is Leslie. I'm calling from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, just outside of Philadelphia. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Leslie.
Oh, awesome.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm loving this podcast and the topic. I had a couple of thoughts that sprung up. I'm originally from New York City. I'm from Brooklyn. What up, Brooklyn? And went to boarding school in upstate New York for high school, which was a really interesting experience. I loved it. I loved my school. It was great to get out of the city and kind of be surrounded in this very intellectual environment and everything, but it created this like weird bubble world. And when I came home for like breaks and stuff like that, it was like so jarring. And so I just remember this, you know, almost having a foot in two worlds at the same time and always having to kind of think about where I was and what I was going to say and what I needed to know and things like that. And it was, to say the least, for a younger person, a difficult kind of dichotomy to be living through and kind of growing up in as well.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the fact that, you know, some like demographically, it depends on where you're from as far as this whole talking white, sounding black vernacular. Do you think it's something that's more based on where you're from?
I think some of it does have to do with where you're from and like what community, how the community is. Like in Brooklyn, it was such a melting pot. Even when I was in public school there, I had so many different races and cultures in the classes I was in that I didn't really think it was talking a specific way. And
right.
Even in my neighborhood, if I came back and I was talking about something I was in school, it wasn't uncommon for other people, we're not doing that, or that's definitely something that we wouldn't get into. I think it's definitely different, for sure. But I do remember definitely a lot of people in my family, too. That to me, that was where I had the most friction, I think. Like, outside of my immediate family, we'd go to functions. It's like, oh, you know, she talks white, or just those kind of comments like that that you would hear.
So you got a lot of flack from your family members and within your community more for the way you spoke rather than just, you know, from other black folks.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the problem, guys. And, you know, we got to be able to support each other. And I think one of the things that I had talked about, I had written a post earlier this morning about this topic, is the fact that we tend to ostracize one another when it comes to embracing white culture. And yet, when it comes to whites adapting to black culture, oh, we welcome them with open arms. Like, think about Eminem, the top, you know, selling hip-hop artist, right? You've got Robin Thicke that's doing really well in R&B music. You've got white musical artists that, you know, adopt our music and our styles, and then it also transcends to other cultural norms. But why is it that we as black people are so welcoming of whites racializing us, or de-racializing us, I should say? But when we embrace white culture, like the fact that there's a lot of vitriol and criticism of black women being involved in the heavy metal music industry, why do we ostracize them and criticize them so much?
I think part of that has, well, at least in my opinion, like while you were talking about that, it may be some black people feel that, you know, by whites specifically adopting, you know, like black culture, maybe they feel like black culture is spreading, so it's in more places, even though black people don't really benefit from Eminem being a hip-hop artist, but like when black people are interested in things that black people don't associate with blackness, like heavy metal, then it's like, oh, you're erasing blackness, like you're diminishing the presence of blackness and like taking away some of what people think might be like the core aspect of being black. And so like, I guess that goes back to the idea of, you know, what does it mean to be black and what do we associate with blackness? That would be like hip hop and like dressing a certain way and being interested in certain pop culture things. And so if you're not interested in those things, then it's like, well, you're not helping protect blackness, but by, you know, encouraging, you know, more non-black people to participate in like black stereotypes, and it's like, okay, well, blackness is, you know, strong and solid and profitable. At least that's what I think. It might have something to do with that, because people aren't used to like heavy metal and associating like black women with that kind of music, I think.
I think a lot of people are also, like, afraid of things that are different than they know, and they like to put everyone in boxes. So the idea of a black woman who likes heavy metal but doesn't compute to them, and when the computing stops, they just completely shut down. It's like, well, I'm going to kind of just write off anything that you're bringing to the table, because it makes sense. A lot of that goes on also, where it's like, just, you're done. Because of that fact.
That concept blows my mind. It seriously blows my mind, because I'm drawn to that. Like, if there's anything out of the box, I'm drawn to it.
Yeah,
and
me too.
When people say things like that, I'm like, really? Like, you're afraid of... Because it's not harmful. Like, what is it going to harm that that's happening? So it's like, I'm initially just, like, drawn to it, like, before I even know anything about it. If I heard just those words, I'm like, oh, my God, what? You know, and I'm there. So it's crazy how people think and how they fear things that are obviously nothing to fear. It's like, I don't get that at all.
But to me, that's always been the true definition of a nerd, where curiosity trumps all for nerds. Like, we are always curious about everything. We always want to, like, oh, what's that little corner of the universe that I haven't heard about yet? And it's what makes all of us so unique, because we have that aspect in our personality.
Right, and we don't conform. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the podcast. Have a great evening.
You too.
You too.
Bye. You too.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Yeah, there's a few. Caller, you're on the air. Yeah, there's more than a few. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello.
Hi, caller. What's your name and where are you from?
Oh, this is CJ from Three Black Geeks.
Hey, CJ. What's up?
It's not much. Nothing much.
Got the discussion.
Oh, yeah, it's good discussion so far. I think we as black people, at least as a culture, we pretty much kind of pigeonhole ourselves. Hence why you have this whole thing of, like, you know, black people being, you know, that are nerds being ingrained to being white and such. And I think that's been the stigma for a long time, because I think other callers have mentioned that pretty much that's how people have viewed the black culture as being this negative thing. And when you had that one person that branches out, it's like, oh, my God, it's different. We got to get away, you know, and it's just this whole thing of just being scared of what's different and stuff. And it's weird because if you look at me and my friends, when we do our podcast and stuff, I mean, hell, if you go to our Facebook page and see us, like, we don't fit that archetype of what a black nerd is. Like, I'm, like, 6'4". I wrestled and played basketball in high school. Like, far be it for me to be that guy that's, like, the nerd of us. But, like, it's, like, to me, people just, when they think of black nerds, they think of Urkel or they think of Carlton and stuff like that. And even when you have those black nerds on TV and stuff, they still try to pigeonhole them into that archetype of what a black nerd is. I mean, hell, you can look at Stevie from Malcolm in the Middle as kind of a pretty good example of that and stuff. So, I mean, it sucks a little bit that that's how it is and stuff, and maybe there needs to be kind of a broad spectrum of what, I guess, black nerds should look like, I guess, or something like that. I don't know. But, I mean, if you just look at how, look at least us and look at other people that are out there, black nerds aren't really the stereotypical that you think it is. And I think just maybe there just needs to be a broad awareness of that stuff. That's, that's me.
Do you think that, like, nerdiness is very two-dimensional in the fact that anything that is not cool is automatically nerdy? Because one of the things that I had read in this piece by Mary Bacholt, she had done this study about nerdiness and whiteness. She mentions that black culture equates with coolness, that there's coolness that stems in black cultural traditions. And, of course, anything that's the opposite of cool is sort of considered a nerd, at least from a stereotypical standpoint. So do you agree with that notion that maybe because nerdiness is correlating to whiteness because blackness correlates to coolness?
Oh, most definitely. I think it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, it depends on the subject. I mean, if I were to go to a random group of black people or something like that, and I were to bring up something like from anime or video game related and stuff, I'm pretty sure 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't really think of, at least years ago, they wouldn't consider that cool. It's like, you know, who is this, you know, goober? Who is this nerd, you know? But, like, if I would do this now, they would think that's cool because that's what's, you know, popping right now. That's what's it. That's the it thing and stuff. So I think it just depends on the year and stuff. Like, back, I would still agree with it now still. It's all depending on what the subject is and stuff, because even now, video games are still kind of, like, borderline. It's cool, but it's not, you know, a little bit. It just depends on the area and where you're at and stuff. So I do agree with that just because it's just – I'll even go back to say, even far back as, say, maybe around the time that I was going to school from, like, 98, 2002, and up until, you know, when a lot of video games were starting to become the cool thing to do – it still was a stigma. Like, if it wasn't Madden, then it was something that was like, oh, what is this? You play this, you know? And I mean, I hate to say it like that, but I mean, that's the truth.
I mean, I have an older brother, and he was like that, so you're right.
I mean, and it's like, if I would tell somebody back in the day, like, hey, you know, I don't play Madden, but, I mean, the thing of it is, I don't mess around with Madden because it's just like, it got to a point where I just got tired of it. And, I mean, I play some of the NBA games, but even then I'm tired of sports games. But, like, I've always been a fighting game player through and through from beginning up till now. So if I were to tell somebody, oh, man, I'm really good at Street Fighter, like really good and stuff like that, they'd be like, oh, Street Fighter. And some people, you know, they'd be like, oh, Street Fighter and stuff. But if I were to show them, like, Tekken or something like that that's different than what they see from Street Fighter, they'll get kind of like, okay, what is this? You know, I don't know. No,
so. I miss Tekken.
Yeah,
it's
still going.
I was
talking about it the other day. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean,
I love talking so much.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just how it is nowadays. It's just, you know, it's all in what's cool and stuff now. And I mean, you know, so it's just a perception and stuff. But I do agree with the whole thing of what's cool in black culture and stuff right now. I mean, hell, I mean, if you were to, like, say, I don't think you – and you know what's funny? As much as I give flack to BET across the board, they would been, they could, they, at this point, moment in time, with all the reality shows that they throw out there, this would be their benefit to actually show, like, hey, this is what, you know, if you really want to go about the whole thing about black nerds, this would be the perfect opportunity to be able to actually show, like, what black nerds are. If they
yes.
really, and it's like they had, like, that's the opportunity for them to actually show it. You know, you have
right.
the platform to do it, show it. You know, so. That's my two cents on it. I mean, but yeah, I mean, also on the whole thing of like talking white, I'm still surprised to this day people still say that because I thought that kind of disappeared to the wayside years ago. But
It's still there,
unfortunately.
You know, and also
yeah.
acting.
I
white.
Think it depends on what region of the country you're in as well.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It does.
I mean, real quick though, in my 4 years of being in the military, I got that stigma of like. Oh, you don't really act like the typical black guy. And I'm like, what's the typical black guy? I'm confused about this. Like, and I mean, these are white people. And like, I get it because, again, where they're from and stuff, I'm pretty sure they have a mindset of what black people that they've hung around with act like. So it's me who I grew up in a suburban area. There were a lot of black people around too and stuff. But it was just, that's just how I was raised and stuff by my folks because it was just like, hey, you know, you're raised to act like this and stuff. Don't act a fool. You know, you're representing
mm-hmm.
us. You know, so,
yep.
you know, that's how I was raised. And even some of my other friends were raised like that. Hey, you're representing your family. This is what, you know, you're going to, you know, disparage the name if you're acting a fool out there and stuff, you know. So that's,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's it, you know.
No, well, I think –
Go ahead, Tatiana. I always cut you off.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry. I really like your point about coolness and nerdiness because something that I found, like, either in personal experience or just, like, on a peripheral level, is that, like, a lot of self-identified nerds take a lot of pride in being uncool. So, I mean, I complain a lot about sort of being, like, this really sort of socially awkward person who doesn't know what to do in a lot of social situations, which is also something like heavily correlated with nerdiness. And people will say, oh, embrace being awkward, embrace being uncool, because they think being uncool means being original. But that, at least to me, that's not exactly what it means. So there are a lot of nerds or self-identified nerds who feel that, you know, being a nerd is uncool, which then makes it cool, so that we can all be uncool but cool together, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, and that's the funny thing too is that most people think that black nerd guys, oh man, they're so socially awkward. But I'm just gonna set the record straight. Some, not all, some. I mean, and the thing of it is, I would say maybe high school you can maybe put me in that category, but it's just like when you go to college and you just kind of throw your just. It's just when you go to college and you kind of have that mindset, you know what, screw it, we're not in high school anymore, I don't care what people think about me anymore. You start to have this air of confidence and stuff where you don't really care if people rip on you, like, oh, you anime, ooh, you know, whatever and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think black nerds are really this awkward people and stuff. I mean, I think some are, but it's not 100% across the board like that. So I'm just
mm-hmm.
speaking for me, though, so, you know.
Oh, no, definitely. I think that when we talk about nerdiness and whiteness, like, the picture of, like, a nerd is, like, some, you know, white guy who, you know, sits at home and doesn't really have any money but can afford to go to every con ever and is, like, super, super awkward, like, you know, heterosexual against, like, the opposite sex kind of thing. And so,
yeah.
like, awkwardness tends to be associated with, like, you know, white, male, heterosexual, cis sort of
mm-hmm.
narrative when we talk about what it means to be a nerd.
Yeah.
And then I am socially awkward, and I went to school and all that kind of stuff, and I'm also a nerd. So there's, like, some of those, like, parallels.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, it was good talking to you guys, and keep up the good work for the show.
Thanks, CJ.
Thanks for
talk to you.
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye. So just to let you guys know, we did extend this an additional 30 minutes, so you can still listen live through Blog Talk Radio. And we do have more callers on hold, so I'll go ahead and bring in the next caller. All right, caller, what's your name and where are you from? Caller? Caller, you're on the air. Where are you? Okay, they hung up. They're like, oh, I'm on the air. I'll bring in the next one. Caller, what's your name and where are you from?
Hello.
Hi.
Howdy.
You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. Hello.
Did the call drop?
I think it did.
Okay. Alrighty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Haley. Here's my spot on Twitter. You guys have kind of already touched on the topic, but I just wanted to speak a little bit on that nerdiness being associated with social awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I think that a lot of the times, like when you look at the classic nerds, like the way they're portrayed on TV or different things, it's so closely associated with awkwardness. And for those of us who are not awkward, or if you, like a previous example that was stated, like Dr. Tyson, who is completely awesome and very not awkward, you know, people tend to think that, oh, okay, then you can't be nerdy. Like me growing up, I loved typical nerdy things, but I was also very popular. I was a cheerleader. I mean, I did a lot of other things. So I think that other people probably wouldn't describe me as a nerd until they, for example, you know, if you bring up Star Trek or Sailor Moon or all these other things that I liked and you totally saw me nerd out on them, they'd be like, oh, okay, she's different. I mean, just from that aspect. So I know we've, like, touched on a lot of different things, but I just think that so commonly that nerdiness and awkwardness are just stuck together. And while that can be true, you know, it's also not true for a lot of people, but we want so badly to pigeonhole people, you know, into what we want them to look like or sound like or, you know, whatever. And then that's what we use to, you know, to define things. And it's so hard for us when people can fit multiple stereotypes. We're really like, oh, we don't really know what to do with that. And for me personally, I work in, you know, I work in a technical field, and I work with a lot of white males. I mean, that's just who is in my field. And it's so interesting to them because, of course, being that there's one of very few Blacks there, period, anything Black, they have to come ask me, right? Because I have to be the resident expert on Blackness.
Of course.
Lucky for them, like, I'm such a social media, you know, person, and I'm just, you know, involved. I'm, like, kind of in the know. I'm like, dude, I'll just go look it up on Twitter. It's probably there. There's a hashtag for it already. But on other parts of that, they get really surprised when they want to talk about things. Like, a couple weeks ago, we had a discussion on who was the best captain as far as Star Trek. And, of course, the answer is Jean-Luc Picard. If you answer differently, then you're stupid. But, you know, they're really surprised that I was engaged in this conversation. Like, wow, we wouldn't think that you would know that. And not that they don't know. I'm sorry, because they work with me. They're just like, I wouldn't think that that'd be something you're interested in. Like, you like hip-hop and you like Star Trek? Wow, that's amazing that you can like both at the same time.
That was possible.
Right, exactly. So that's just a point I have. I know you guys have a lot of other people on the line, so I'll go ahead and just continue listening on the air.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate your feedback and insight.
I'm so excited that Jean-Luc Picard got inserted into this conversation tonight.
It's the highlight of the whole topic.
I mean, everything goes right once you start mentioning Jean-Luc Picard.
All right. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh,
What's your name? Where are you from?
From upstate New York. My name is Gid at Infinite Speech on Twitter. Love you guys. Love the show. Long time listener, first time caller.
Yay. So what do you think about our topic tonight?
Oh my gosh. It's coincidental that I was discussing this with some friends that I've grown up with a while back. I grew up in Houston in the South, and it was funny because I came from Ohio, and my taste just bounced all around. But growing up, I noticed that my Puerto Rican and black friends liked one thing, and the guys that usually read comics, watched all the sci-fi movies, were either white or Asian. But, like, a lot of my black friends were really, they didn't know how to approach it. And as I got older, like high school or whatnot, my comment was, you know, I'm one of those guys that makes it look cool. But a lot of friends of mine would get picked on. And it's just really weird how if you're black and a nerd, your peer group shrinks even more.
Mm-hmm.
Especially growing up then, you know, your peer group is already small, but, you know, and they're like, how come you're not playing basketball? How come you're not playing football? You know,
right.
I'm hanging out, you know, with your pager listening to Public Enemy or Nas, and I'm like, sorry, I got my Billy Joel on right now, and I'm reading my Eggman comic.
Yes.
But as far as it being regional, I also feel like that plays a really big part, too. Like, I have a friend of mine that's from, he's from Queens, and I assume that, you know, he's in New York City, the quote-unquote melting pot, that he'd have a better time growing up a black guy who didn't like the quote-unquote traditional black things. And he said he had a hard and rough time growing up, especially he lost, like, a girlfriend over it. She found out he read comics and was watching Star Wars, and she left
him. What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What?
So it's just these ignorant extremes and these labels that we put on each other.
Right.
And if we're going to talk about music, too, the industry itself has used racial diversity to keep people in their boxes.
Oh, yeah.
You
know,
without a doubt.
Black, you're going to like, you know, jazz, blues, R&B, hip-hop. You know, if you're white, depending on your age, you're going to like punk, rock, maybe some pop, you know. When it's all just good music, it doesn't matter who it comes from. You know, you can like Billy Joel, Nas, Metallica, Pearl Jam, even Nickelback.
And even international, like K-pop. Like, I've been listening. Yeah, and I just got hip to K-pop thanks to my Twitter buddy. She tweets me every day about Big Bang, and I watch their videos. And so, yeah, I mean, it's something where just not necessarily domestically here listening to other genres of music, but a lot of black nerds listen to K-pop and J-pop music.
Yeah, I have a
I love J-pop.
Several close friends, a black nerd, and she loves K-pop. Like, she spends, like, hundreds of dollars on, like, CDs, like, DVDs. So, yeah, that happens. It's, like, a thing. But she was just talking about that, so I'm happy you mentioned it. So I'm going to make her listen to this tomorrow.
Well, it was enjoyable talking with you, ladies. Continued success in your show, and I will be listening every single Monday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Guys, take
care. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. All right, we got one more caller. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you from?
I'm Aaron, and I'm in Kansas.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I am wonderfully fantastic. How are you?
Good.
But, yeah, I'm the uncool Aaron guy on Twitter. My question is about the validity of this label. I am a white, and I'm a nerd, and I've never really even considered the whole idea of a black nerd, a white nerd, a Puerto Rican nerd, any kind of nerd whatsoever. And I just kind of wonder if nerdiness is not as racial as this.
Well,
it's just like you were talking about, like, Carlton, Stevie, and, you know, whoever earlier, and I don't know, to me, the race never really factored into their nerdiness. So
is
nerdiness like... That's because I'm a desperate loser?
No,
what?
You're a good person.
No, I think that makes you a real nerd, because you don't see it, man. I think that makes you a real nerd, because you're outside the blinds. And I think what we're really talking about here is not what other nerds think of nerds. It's what the outside world is trying to label people as and try to put people in boxes and stereotype them. So I think your thought is exactly what our thoughts are in saying that
we never saw the difference of being a white nerd or a black nerd or a Japanese nerd. Everybody was just people who had interest in things that were different, but it seems that other people try to stereotype, put people in boxes, and try to classify people because their interests are outside what we would stereotypically want to do or what we should listen to or what our interest should be just because of our ethnic or racial background.
Right. Well, I would agree with that, but I would also say that then you know, by that rationale, I would say that the nerd label is pretty detrimental for a society then, because if we're going to say, oh, that guy's a nerd because he likes to do calculus or he likes to read the classics or he really cares about something instead with a negative bent, then that could be pretty disruptive and be pretty bad.
I don't know. I was proud and nerdy.
No. I'm 100% agreeing with you, but what I'm saying is those that say, oh, he's just a nerd because he likes calculus, then, you know, that's pretty bad. I mean, if they're trying to pigeonhole you and put a negative bent on something that's, you know, that actually should be, you know, celebrated is what I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, I think the term nerd has evolved substantially, and I also think that now that we are more in a progressive society where people are more accepting of others, that you know, we're coming out and saying we're happy we're nerds, but I don't think nerd fits into those stereotypes of the past where, you know, you wore the glasses and the pocket protector and you were a nerd. Mm. I think you can be a nerd in every capacity. You can be someone that's into fashion and be a nerd. You can be someone that is technology savvy and be a nerd. You can be someone who's a bookworm and be a nerd, or someone that's into art and be a nerd. So it's a relative term, but, and I've spoke to this before, I think nerdiness is something that deals with a lack of conformity, someone who doesn't follow social trends, you know, and someone who just kind of marches to the beat of their own drum. And that is what makes you nerdy. So, you know, it is an evolving term. It is sort of this progressive, you know, movement that we're doing now with social media and each of us with our various podcasts and our content that we create. But yeah, I think the nerd of yesteryear, because that was a term that it's a relatively new term. I think it was first coined in the 50s, and it did allude to the white male archetype, you know, and obviously that has changed. So I don't see people thinking that nerdiness has to do with any of those. I mean, there's people that do still say those stereotypes, but people that are in the nerd culture, I don't feel that they believe that about what nerds are. I think those are people that are outside of our subculture that believe that.
Probably I think it's probably becoming an archaic label when we have stuff like, you know, the quote-unquote nerdy, you know, things like the Avengers making over $1 billion at the box office or a show like Big Bang Theory getting Emmys and stuff like that. I'm just kind of wondering, like, how much longer are you going to need the term to begin with?
Well, I think the thing with being a nerd is that it's a self-label at this point. Like, in the past, people would say, oh, you're a nerd. Like, it's an insult. And so people started to claim it and turn it into a compliment. Like, oh, I'm proud to be a nerd. Like, there's tons of paraphernalia and memorabilia about people being happy, being different, or, you know, it's cool to be uncool type of thing. So I don't think nerd is archaic, and I don't think that there'll never be a use for it because people take it off to describe themselves. And so, like, first nerd was for, like, you know, genre stuff, like science fiction, fantasy, like J.R. Tolkien, you know, that sort of stuff. And, like, now people, they like blogs, like, oh, I'm a blogger nerd, or I'm, like, you know, a music nerd, even though maybe like 10 years ago we wouldn't have used nerd to describe, you know, some of that other stuff. So it's definitely becoming more of an umbrella where people use it to talk about, you know, I really love this thing. So, like, it's almost like nerd just sort of boils down to I really love comics, so I'm a comic nerd. Or I really love, I don't know if anyone would call themselves a shoe nerd, but, you know, it's just a word people use to really describe how dedicated they are to this one thing and how much time they want to devote to it. So I think that nerd is something that people place upon themselves, and it's not something that people at least continue to place onto others.
We reclaim the term. That's good.
Right. So let me ask you this, Aaron. You're, and please forgive me if this might sound ignorant, but do you feel like, because you say that you weren't aware that it was like a racial thing with nerdiness, do some of your other white friends feel that way as well, that they're sort of kind of...
You know, I don't know what my other white friends think. And, you know, that was kind of a, that was kind of like a question in my mind, is I'm wondering if I'm coming from a, and once again, forgive the my ignorance, but if I'm coming from a place of white entitlement or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't say that I don't have friends to throw around the, you know, the blurred term, or that's a black nerd and et cetera, but I can say I've never heard it. I can say it's never come up in natural conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure. I mean, but I think maybe this is a positive thing that mm-hmm. doesn't even occur to us at this point.
It's good to have this conversation because I, you know, like you said that you kind of weren't aware that this was something that was an issue. That kind of makes sense if there's these shows that are, you know, coming up. In our culture, where maybe these people that are doing the casting kind of aren't aware of the fact that, you know, for us as black nerds, that this is an issue, that we don't feel that we're represented. So maybe there's, you know, unfortunately, a major oversight that's happening in our culture where, you know, this isn't being recognized. So I'm glad that you were honest and, you know, very frank about that.
And I'm not saying that it doesn't exist or I'm denying it exists. I'm flabbergasted because I've been considered a nerd for definitely longer than it's been considered in vogue. But you know, it just never occurred to me as a racial or an even social indicator, really. I'm not sure. I was just curious about that.
Yeah. Leon, well, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, okay, thank you for having me on. I'm sorry if I sound incredibly ignorant, but I just had to ask.
No, I mean, I really appreciate that because now, you know, it brings to question how many other people that are like you that don't think that there is sort of a racial marker to nerdiness. Because, you know, for us, we see it plain and clear, but you know, being on the other side of it, maybe it's something that you guys don't see. So, I mean, I'm glad to get that perspective.
I'm fully willing to admit that it may exist. I just wasn't aware of it because, like the people I mentioned earlier, I just, you know, it didn't occur to me that they're, you know, whatever they are, nerds. They're just nerds, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, thank you for calling, Aaron.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so looks like... Yeah, so we don't have any more people on hold. So, so what I'll do is just really quick go to the comments on Twitter. We had a ton of them. And if you guys have any other comments to make, we're going to go ahead and... eventually, we're going to close in on the show, but looks like, let's see here, Janae Darden, she says, if it weren't for black nerds, we wouldn't have gas masks, traffic lights, peanut, everything, mathematics, etc. Very
hashtag
true.
Talk.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's very true. And then, let's see... the Picard comment. Picard was more of an intellectual and chill. Kirk was trying to sex people down. That was from Haley. That's true. Yeah. He was the Clinton of Star Trek, wasn't he?
Wow. Nope.
Any of you guys have anything more to add to this discussion before we wrap up?
There's a poem by this woman named Ka Davis. I don't know. I posted it earlier, and it's I don't know if I can I curse on here because the name of it's
yeah, I curse all the time, girl.
Yeah, she's
hey, right.
Her,
so the poem is called "What the Fuck I Look Like," and it really literally has a statement in it that goes,
And I'm paraphrasing, but she was like, you know, I use big words, so you think I'm white. You say gargantuan, I say big as shit. And the poem is really all about really like what we've talked about tonight. And she was like, the young lady at the time was in AP classes and she was extremely smart, but there was a dilemma between her not being, you know, obviously because of the color of her skin, she couldn't be a nerd. She couldn't read, you know, deep poetry. And she brings up the fact that people talk about Maya Angelou's typos all the time, but Mark Twain had fragmented sentences all over the place. And I think it really personifies what we've talked about tonight, in that as soon as she went back and she went back to her community, they were like, a statement was made, you know, what you mean I'm going to read a book so I can sound like you? What do I sound like? I sound like I'm educated. And so I think, you know, this is something that is like continuously evolving because of cultural means. But I really think this is something that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about for a while. So, you know, keep the discussion going. I'm really excited about all the callers that called in tonight.
Absolutely. And one more thing, I don't want to dismiss, you know, other races in this topic, because it seems like we've just been talking about black and white, but we also want to, you know, make sure that Hispanic nerds are out there. There's a lot of them, and there's a lot of Asian nerds out there. And there was a portion in this study that was done by Mary Bacholtz, and I'm just going to read this really quick, and I want to get some of your feedback on this before we go. What she states is, this phenomenon is illustrated by the fact that in U.S. culture, generally, Asian Americans are ideologically positioned as the model minority, quote, that is, the racialized group that most closely approaches honorary whiteness, quote, in part because they are ideologically positioned as the nerdy minority, skilled in scientific and technical fields, but utterly uncool. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that?
I absolutely.
Can you repeat that last part?
The last part?
Yeah.
That, the group that most closely approaches honorary whiteness, in part because they are ideologically positioned as the nerdy minority, skilled in scientific and technical fields, but utterly uncool.
Okay.
I utterly agree with that, and I think that's something that has other writers have actually talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Other writers have made that statement, and I think it goes back again to it being culturally accepted that those cultures, and in particular, you know, white and Asian cultures, do promote, celebrate being smart. Like, it's okay to be smart. It's okay to be interested. You're encouraged to be proficient at a classical instrument, and there's just somewhere there's a disconnect, because I'm not saying that African Americans are not. I think, in fact, there was a good amount of African Americans that were there, and whether it's a mentality that was created by integration or a mentality that was created by segregation, I feel like we do not celebrate African Americans or people from the African diaspora being smart and being intellectual and having, you know, those education-based interests. I really think that that's a very poignant statement.
Absolutely. And do you think that Asian Americans are considered the model minority among whites, that they're more welcoming and receptive into nerd culture than black nerds? Because that's basically what she's stating.
I think so, because, like, in terms of, like, sorry, I don't want to, like, cut anybody off. but I think when we talk, at least from my experience with, like, anime and, like, manga nerds, it's like, you know, it's like Japan is, like, this really big, you know, component when we talk about, like, anime and manga culture. You know, some people feel like, you know, oh, when we think of, like, Asians, we think of, like, Japanese people, and, like, Chinese and Korean. So it's like they're, like, authentic.
Yeah.
So if they are nerds, it's like they're part of, like, that culture, even though, like, my understanding is that people who even like anime, like in Japan, are considered sort of like nerds and like aren't really seen as these really cool people. But like, you know, Asian nerds here are like the epitome of like Asian, I guess, for some people in nerd culture who really idolize Japan and some of that anime and that manga culture. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think her statement, too, is just a little bit short-sighted when it comes to that, because I think that there's also white people within, you know, the culture of Caucasians that are also dismissed as well as a minority, because she mentioned racial markers, right? So a racial marker is there's the group of the hillbillies that are considered to be the social underclass, and then there's the racial marker of whites that embrace both black and white culture, and they're quote-unquote cool, and then there's the hyper-whiteness racial marker that's completely supposed to be allegedly attached to nerdiness. So I think that that is kind of interesting, and I had talked about that in my blog post, that and this was her findings. This was a woman that did a study in San Francisco at Bay City High School of these students and basically measured among these students why one segment was nerdy and why the other ones were cool. And her theory was that the more white that you are, the more you separate yourself from any sort of culture, whether it's black culture, Asian culture, whatever, then the more inclined you are to be nerdy. Hence, that's why there's a correlation between nerdiness and whiteness. So, but, I mean, I feel like we've evolved a great deal and that there's, you know, we all embrace several different cultures and, you know, so I don't even know if hyper-whiteness even exists anymore. I could be mistaken in saying that, but I don't,
I personally haven't come across it, so
yeah,
I can't say that it has either, but I mean,
I haven't had that experience where I've met someone that's so far removed from, you know, other cultures that they just are completely oblivious to, you know, blackness or any other, you know, racial demographic. So I haven't had that experience, but I can't deny and say that that doesn't exist, but I haven't had that experience.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Luckily.
And again, and I think it's also a geographical thing, because I lived in New York City for a while, and I'm originally from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and it's a melting pot here. This is a military town, so people from all walks of life come here to live and visit. So I haven't had that experience, but I do think geography plays a major role. So, well, thank you guys for tuning in. We're about 3 minutes till the end of the show. Really quick, why don't we just go ahead and do some shout-outs of each of your respective blogs, websites, social networks. We'll start with LaTanya, and then Angelique, and then Shanna, and then Tatiana.
Okay, well, my blog is sprinklesandbooze.com. Like I mentioned before, I also write for Black Girl Nerds, and I write fashion posts for afropunk.com.
Awesome. My blog is actually my name, AngeliqueRocher.com, and my Twitter is AngeliqueRocher.com. Right now, only writing for Black Girl Nerds, but definitely doing a lot of tweets and monitoring of causes and good reasons to care and get active and get engaged in your community.
Cool beans. I also write for Black Girl Nerds, and I'm also at shannawithstanza.wordpress.com, and my Twitter account is shannananigans.
Hi, I blog at drivenbytatiana.com, and I have the Twitter handle the same name, so you can check that out.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for participating in this discussion. This was a heavy one. A lot of calls,
yeah.
A lot of tweets.
A lot of tweets.
I know. I'm surprised we're not trending on Twitter. Like, that's how much tweets we've got.
Like, it's a lot of tweets.
So, really appreciate you guys' feedback and got a lot of insight. I mean, I learned a lot of stuff tonight, so I'm glad that we had this discussion. And maybe we'll do this again, do another podcast about this same subject.
I think we should.
Yeah. So next week on our podcast, we will have Sean from Blurred Nation. If you haven't visited that site, you got to check it out, www.blurrednation.com. Sean, she's also a fellow Black Girl Nerd. She created the website. She is going to talk to us about, you know, why she created it and how it's doing and the whole Blurred movement that's going on. So definitely stay tuned next week, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, thanks, guys. Appreciate your insight tonight.
Oh, and my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Thinking just too wide and nerdy. Thinking just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I want to go with the gangsters. But so far, they all think I'm too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy.
MIT, got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MP, Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary, you'll find it there quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My mind space page, I'll totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to a thousand places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a wizard, minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I set the place ablaze. There's no killer rap I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do better count. Kill it just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy Days is my favorite theme song. I can sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Hard I sing.
Roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy. I'd like to roll with the gangsters.
Browsing, inspecting, X-Men comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites. When Black friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. In my night with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me. Getting freaky.
I'm nerdy and the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What do I like, Kirk, or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling, they laughing, and rolling their eyes because I'm so wide and nerdy.
Just because I'm wide and nerdy.
Just because I'm wide and nerdy.
All because I'm wide and nerdy.
Holy cow, I'm wide and nerdy. I want to bowl with the gangsters. But oh well, it's obvious I'm wide and nerdy.
Just too wide and nerdy.
Things just too wide and nerdy.